Lindsay here. For those of you who don't know, anybody that doesn't know me. Just before we get started, I just wanted to share a little bit about the women's retreat that's coming up. It's in 2 weeks, 3 weeks. I should know because I'm going to be sharing there. But it's March 17th through the 19th. And I just wanted to share a little more. I know we've talked to you about the women's retreat coming up, but I just wanted to share a little bit about what the Lord has put on my heart to share there. If you don't know, the topic is rest, which is ironic because I have a 2-year-old and a 2-month-old, and there's not a lot of rest happening in my house. And so it's just ironic. I was trying to remember if when I said yes to doing this, if I knew I was pregnant or not. And it was, I either didn't know or it was, I had just gotten pregnant and just found out. But the Lord knew this is where my life was going to be when this happened. And a lot of people are saying, "What? How are you doing this?" And I don't know. The Lord is just really faithful and good. So this journey for me started about, well, more than 2 years ago, but really focused about 2 years ago that the Lord started teaching me about what rest really is. Because at the time, I was newly married. I'd been married for about a year and a half. And I had a 5-6-month-old and who was not sleeping. So we were back there. And I moved to Yakima because I got married. So I moved here not knowing anybody. And my husband and I had never been in the same place for more than 3 weeks at a time, ever. And then we got married and I moved here and he was the only person I knew. And I went from working to not working, and I had been working since I was 15. And so there was just a lot of life transitioning happening all at once. And I got pregnant 3 months after we got married, which I wasn't ready for or expecting, or that was not my plan A, let's put it that way. And, so I personally had a lot of struggle going on in making all of these transitions of a new home and a new community and learning to be married and being a housewife slash stay-at-home mom. And I find a lot of value, or I found a lot of value of myself and worth through works and what I was doing and where I was working. And so to not be doing that, God kind of brought me to this place of, like, who am I now and what am I doing with my life? And there was a lot of unrest happening in me on top of just not sleeping. So I got to this place where I was exhausted. I was struggling to make this new life transition, and I really fell into depression. And my husband was exhausted and also trying to make these new transitions into being married and a parent. And at work, he was doing well, but his workload was increasing and his responsibilities were increasing. And at the time, he had some client issues that were really wearing at him, on him. And so I remember him coming home one day and just looking heavy. I mean, he just looked, you can see the burden just on him. So I was praying that night. What came to mind was Matthew 11:28 that says, "Come to me, you who are weary, and I will give you rest." And I started just asking the Lord, "What are you offering here? Like, what is this rest? Because I would love some sleep, but is that what you're, like, is that what you're, what this is about? Is that the promise?" And he started this journey for me about what his rest really is and what it's all about. And lost my notes here. Not too long after that, I was just in like a discussion group, and it happened to be about rest. And what I learned, what something that was brought up to me, and that is that the Sabbath begins at sundown. And actually, when you think about our time and the way it's structured, the day begins at midnight. And so really, the first quarter to third of our day is spent sleeping. And it's interesting that that's where we start, that it's out of this place of sleep and rest that we go into our day. And when that kind of came up to me, the Lord just spoke to me and said, "But that's a spiritual concept. That's a spiritual principle that it's out of rest that I want you to live. And so the Lord over these last 2 years has really unpacked what that is, and that it's being in Him and abiding in Him is where we find rest, and sitting in Him and the work that He's done for us and receiving that is the place that we really start in our life with the Lord and in our journey of faith. And out of that, He takes us into His kingdom and walking with Him. And so often we try and flip it, where we try and serve and do all the things that we think we should be doing so that we are good enough in His kingdom. And He wants us to sit down first. And so that's what we're going to be exploring and going into for the retreat. So I'm really excited about it. I really sense the Lord is just going to bring freedom. Just that He just wants us to be free of the burdens that we carry and the places where we think we have to achieve and prove ourselves and prove our worth. I just really believe the Lord is going to come and free us of those places. So that's what's coming. It's exciting, and I'm privileged to be able to be a part of it. So there are pamphlets on the back table. Today, sign up today. Today, after today, I think the price goes up a little bit, but you can register up until March 17th, I believe, 16th. So thank you.
Hey, how are you?
Hello.
Oh, it's so good to see you.
Hi.
Oh, my goodness. What did you think of the service today?
Oh, it was pretty good. It was pretty good. Yeah, heavy.
Mm-hmm. What about you? Did you enjoy the pastor's message this morning?
Yeah, and Lindsay at the end was right on about that rest. This is really good. I could use some of that.
Yeah, I'm planning on going to the retreat. What about you guys? I really think I'm going to go. I'm definitely going. When is it again?
Sometime in March. Sometime in March, maybe.
Yeah.
What's the rooming situation? I always get stuck with the weirdos. And do they have coffee there? And what kind of coffee do they have?
Definitely. I'm sure there's going to be coffee. Hopefully it's organic because, you know, and...
Forget organic. We just need caffeine. All right?
I just like the sugar, personally. The chocolate. Do they have chocolate?
That's not good for you.
I know. Oh, it's so yummy.
It just screws up your adrenals and... Then you're going to have to, you know, but I've got a homeopathic that'll be really good for that. I'll bring it with me.
Okay.
She's going to start busting out her oils now. Okay, if I don't have to room with a weirdo, and if they have caffeinated coffee, maybe I'll go.
I have noticed that I just don't ever have time to really get quiet with the Lord.
Yeah, need to talk about time. Yesterday, I'm pretty sure I went to the grocery store. I didn't even go home. I went home just long enough to take care of our dog and then let him out to go to the bathroom the whole day. Really, really good job, yeah. And then I had to pick kids up from school, and we have basketball, and we might even have an anniversary coming up. I don't even know. But I don't think I have time to go. I really want to go though, guys. But I just, I don't know. That whole resting thing sounds great. But I have a list a mile long. There's so much to do. I can't even leave without a fight or something going on with my kids or somebody getting sick right before I leave anywhere. So I'm sorry. I probably won't be able to go.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure my kids have a soccer tournament that weekend. I just don't know. I'd really like to make it, though. This rest thing just sounds really nice.
Like, I could really use a little rest.
Yeah. I could use a lot of rest. But I know what's going to happen. They're going to put me with a snorer. And then it's going to defeat the whole purpose of even being there. But again, maybe if there's Starbucks, you guys, maybe we just need to go. Maybe we need to get over our excuses and the snorers and the bad coffee and just do this thing. What do you think?
I think so. I have some essential oils that'll fix the snoring. So you don't need to worry about that. I'll make sure I bring them with me. I really think I just really need to go. Yeah. Let me check the dates real quick. It's March 17th, 18th, and 19th.
Okay. Will you guys room with me?
Not that I know
of. I have essential oils. It'll be okay. I'll bring my diffuser.
So maybe I'll get some sleep.
All right. Well, maybe. We'll see. I'll get back to you guys later today. Maybe in a text.
That sounds really non-committal, right? I think you just need to sign up.
Oh. You guys are going to go? Both of you?
I'm definitely going to go.
We'll go. You have to go.
I have to go. All right. Well, maybe. We'll see. Well, we'll say yes. But I'll just make sure it's okay with husband and kids and where they all need to go. And okay?
Yeah, good luck with
okay. All right. So we're definitely going.
Yay.
We're definitely going.
Yay.
Can't wait to room with you guys. There's Starbucks. I know there's Starbucks. It's just like half. It's just right there. It's right across the street.
All right.
It's going to be good. I can't wait.
Okay.
All right. Oh, okay. You better go. You better go. See you guys. That's a little preview. Hopefully, we'll have a little more time to practice before the real thing. The three of us and Loxie, if you know Loxie, are doing program up at the retreat. So we've got some things planned that I think are going to be really fun. And we're really looking forward to seeing you guys there. Today is the last day to sign up at the slightly discounted rate. And I think it's the last day to sign up online. Erica's not here to verify that for me, but I think after today you have to go sign up in person in the office. So which some of you might prefer to do anyways, that's fine. But do it today and you can get the slightly discounted price. And I think that's all the announcements I have. Lindsay, am I forgetting anything? We're not? Okay. There will be prayer available for individuals as needed. So if you would like to self-select yourself for prayer, there will be people back there available to pray for you if you need it today. And without any further ado, I'd like to introduce my beautiful mother, Robin, who's going to be speaking with us today on the Holy Spirit.
Is that it? Okay. Ooh, that's loud. Okay. Adjusting. Whoopsie. I've missed my haircut for 2 weeks. So I am like a dog. Shaggy. Thank you.
Is that better?
Uh-huh. I think so. I think we'll get it. Good morning. Can you all hear me? Can they hear me upstairs? I feel like they can hear. Heaven, can you hear? Are you here? Heaven, can you hear me? This is a double cup day, just so y'all know. Agreed? 6 hours on the pass last night from Seattle. So, whew, that's a big one, huh? Do I have to stand up on the top thingy? Yeah. No? Because I feel like you're so far away when I do that. I'd like to get a little closer, if you don't mind. So, good morning. We're going to have a fun day today just talking about God's great gift of the Holy Spirit. I'm very excited. I'm kind of a Jesus person myself. So I like to talk about Jesus a lot and mostly, but today I get to talk about the Holy Spirit, and I'm very excited about that. So let me just pray over us, and then I'll begin. So thank you, Father. Thank you so much for this day, and thank you that you brought us all here today together to learn more about you. And we thank you for your promise, the Holy Spirit. And we just invite you, Holy Spirit, now to just come and do what you do best. Hover, infill, draw, woo, teach, comfort, love us for the Father's sake, we ask you, Holy Spirit. And we just want to bless you today, Holy Spirit. And we thank you that you're so patient with us and you're so kind. And that you just love on us when we don't even know you're there. So thank you, Holy Spirit, for being among us today. Just teach us from your word. And we just bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we're just very excited. You know, I was in Seattle yesterday and it was snowing. So, you know, you can't get away from the snow. Just wherever you go, it follows you. And I happened to be sitting in a parking lot waiting for my husband to run an errand, and I saw these flakes falling on the windshield. And they were the big, fat, you can see kind of the design of the flakes. And it made me think of all of you and how beautiful you are and how unique you are. You know, they say, the scientists say, that every snowflake has its own unique design, that no two snowflakes are alike. Now, how did they figure that out? I really don't know. Did they freeze them and, like, put them under a microscope or something? I don't know how they figured that out. But, you know, can't question the scientists. After all, they're the experts on everything. So they say that snowflakes are unique, so we just take their word for it. But I do know this. Every one of you are uniquely made by the hand of God. Think about that a minute. You were uniquely made by the hand of God for our particular work in his kingdom. Now that is an amazing, amazing fact, is it not? And so many times women have such a difficult time owning themselves. We are so good at comparing ourselves to others, wishing our hair was straight if it's curly, wishing it was curly if it was straight, wishing we looked like her, wishing we were doing that. You know, it's so hard to just gather yourself up and say, this is good. True? True. Because, you know, and it's kind of like saying, God, your idea in me was really a great idea, but I wish you'd thought of something different. I wish you'd created me differently. And you know, I'm not so sure God's really happy about that idea. Because when he made you like a snowflake, or like a flower, or like a beautiful part of his creation, he was really excited about it. He was very, very excited about you. He did that on purpose. He formed you. He painted you. He created you. He crafted you. And he didn't just do it for no reason. He had in mind a work, a purpose, a kingdom place for you and you alone to stand that would advance his kingdom. Now think about that a minute. You are an advancer of the kingdom of God. You are a person, a unique creation that is going to move God into the world. Isn't that exciting? You know, my little grandsons, Kelly's kids, Jonah and Daniel, I watch them every week. I get the privilege of watching them every Friday. Oh, they are so darling. They're 4 and 2 right now, and they are just full of it. I mean, you know, I have to take extra vitamins just to keep up on Friday. And they're both very different, very uniquely created. Jonah is just Mr. Contained little person that has his own ideas, and he's just kind of in his own little world. Jonah just has this whole little created world now that he moves in, and he'll start talking to you about it, and he starts talking so fast you can't even understand what he's saying. And but he's telling you something, you know, that's really important. And I keep saying to him, Jonah, just slow down. I think I got it. Luigi and Mario are going to get Princess Peach. This is a game they play. And so, but Daniel is a square. He's built, he's a little square. And he's just all contained. So when he sees something, he's like, Iron Man to the rescue! And he just starts running around the house, just full of energy. So these two boys love the Mario games on the Wii U. You might not know about that, but there's this game called Mario Kart or Mario Flash Paint something. I don't know what it is. Anyway, they play it on the Wii U. And for those of you that are not into video games, I kind of get that, you know, but if you have any grandchildren, you probably have at least seen one. And in the video game, Mario starts out as this little tiny person, right? And he goes along, and then he sees something. I don't know if it's a coin or a mushroom. And if he gets the mushroom, then he goes, and he's supercharged Mario. Okay, just shake your head because I know you don't all know this, but this happens, okay? So little Mario becomes supercharged Mario, and then he can do much greater things. Much greater things than little Mario used to do. But he has to eat the mushroom. He has to get the mushroom. Super Mario. Okay. So this is the game they play, not only on the Wii U, but when there's no Wii U at my house, they play it on their own. Like, you know, they'll run around, try to find something that's a pretend mushroom, and then they'll supercharge, and then they'll fight and hit each other, and everybody cries, and we take a nap. So that's kind of how it goes on Fridays. So, but that made me think of this passage that you're going to be studying next week. Look with me in the chat in the book of John, because it made me think of this verse that Jesus tells his disciples in what's called the Last Discourse. So, whether you know it or not, John 13 through 17, those chapters are called the Last Discourse. Whoops. Okay, I'm still here. They're called the Last Discourse. And they're called that because these chapters, even though there's a lot of them and there's a lot of words there, there's a lot of red words there, are the last words that Jesus spoke to his disciples before he was crucified. So these were given all in one section. It actually starts with chapter 13 where he's washing the disciples' feet. Remember that chapter? And then he goes on to say all these words. Now think about this a minute. If you knew that you were going to die within a few hours, and you had gathered the most important people in your life around you, what would you want to say to them? Sometimes I think about that because my mom and dad are both dead now. And sometimes we have, in our family, somebody will say, well, you know, what happened when such and such did such and such in our family history? To myself, I gotta call mom. Right? Have you ever had that thought? Or I've gotta call dad. Dad knows that. Dad knows how they smuggled booze into Denver during Prohibition with his dad. He remembers how they got it in the trunk and took it to the Brown Palace Hotel and what happened there. Dad remembers how they were bootleggers. I've got to call dad. You see, sometimes you need information from these people. You need them to tell you things. Jesus needed to tell his disciples some things before he left the earth. Things that he had not been able to give them yet. And this is the last discourse. And in the middle of this last discourse, in chapter 15, no, sorry, chapter 14, He's beginning to talk to them about what's going to happen. And I love the beginning of this because the first part of this chapter, he says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. I love that because that was the verse that brought me to Christ, actually. Someone shared it with me when I was a teenager. And I went out on a quiet time, read this chapter, and I realized that I did have a belief in God, but I had not yet really understood or accepted Christ. And when I read that, it was like Jesus was talking to me and saying, Robin, you believe in God, right? Yes, I do. Believe also in me. And that was the period of time that I gave my life to Jesus Christ. But he doesn't stop there, does he? This is the thing. So many of us have halted our growth and our understanding of God with Jesus. Because most of you in this room, not all of you, I know there's a few weirdos in here, but most of you in this room were raised in an evangelical stream of God. How many of you were raised in either Presbyterian, Methodist, Catholic, Lutheran, Baptist? Ooh, there we go, Baptist. Get your hands up, you Baptists. All right. Most of us in this room were raised in an evangelical stream of God, which emphasizes, and that's fine, Jesus. Right? It was all about Jesus. It's about knowing Jesus, accepting Jesus, walking with Jesus, talking to Jesus. How many of you pray to Jesus? Pray. When you pray, you say, Dear Jesus. No, not everybody? How about, Dear God? Okay, let's see. I want to see. Keep your hands up. How about, Dear God? Dear Jesus. Keep up. How many of you pray, Dear Holy Spirit? Oh, well, we got a couple. All right, good for you. That's awesome. But most of us have been raised to be Jesus-centered. And Jesus knew this with his disciples especially. They'd walked with him. They talked with him. They'd lived with him for 3 years. He is their guy. They have seen him do amazing things. And all their hope for the future is in him, right? So he's telling them here. He says, I'm going to go away. I'm going to prepare a place. Okay, blah, blah, blah. Go on down. Look at verse 10. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the work. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves, the things that he's done. Then this is the Mario Kart. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. Now, that would have been enough. Okay, because what are the works that Jesus did? Call them out. Healing. Say? Raising the dead. Deliverance. Yeah, lepers. The blind. Healed the blind. He. Forgiveness. Feeding the 5,000. Calming the storm. I mean, this is just his stuff. All right, so the works that I do, he will do. He said, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do. Raise your hand if you've calmed a storm. All right, yeah, okay. I would give you an example of that, but, well, anyway, yeah. My sister Beth, where is Beth? Where is Beth? She probably knew I was talking today. I love Beth. Beth and I came together to this valley. We are here as a team. Anyway, she calmed a storm one time in front of my brother and about knocked him off his socks. That's a different story. I'll tell you that later. Okay, who's raised the dead? All right, not yet. These are just the works he did. Have you cast out a demon? Have you laid your hands on the sick? All right. But then he doesn't stop there. Little Mario. Beep, 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 beep. He brings in the mushroom. He says, and greater works will you do because I go to the Father. Now, what could be the greater works? Okay, I'm asking the evangelicals right now, not the Holy Spirit people, because what do the evangelicals say the greater works are? Salvation, spreading the gospel, that the whole world will, the greater work is that we'll go to the nations, we'll share the gospel, they'll be saved. That's a good work. It is a greater work. It is because Jesus was just in a contained area, right? So that's a greater work. I give him that. But what are some of the works that he's talking about that are greater? Unlimited. Limitless power through you. A hundredfold more than we can. Little Mario, you can eat the mushroom. And then you can... And then there is no limit to what you can do. This is what he's saying. That when the believers in Jesus Christ get infused with the power of the Holy Spirit, there is nothing that can stop the advance of the kingdom into the world. Nothing. It won't be just about the Jews. It'll be about every creature. It won't just be about Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria. It will be about the entire world. It won't be just that a few people understand and see who God is. It'll be that all eyes are open. Because at the end of time, what does he say in Ephesians? That at the name of Jesus, what's going to happen? Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. This is our work. This is our work. And Jesus said, if you don't believe it, just because, believe it because the works I do. We've got some work to do. Little Mario, you are running around on your little track, in your little maze. And Jesus has a work for you to do, a kingdom work, a work that no one else on earth can do but you. Because no one lives in your house but you. No one goes to the store that you go to. No one works in the works that you do. No one has the family that you do. No one has the influence and the sphere that you do. And no one has the giftings that you do. And no one has the talents that you do. And no one is created like you've been created. So you are destined to be the greater work of the gospel in the place that you are planted. Oh, little Mario, that's going to be a tough call. Because I know me and I know you. And we don't feel like we have enough to do what God is asking us to do. Amen? And so he says, I get it. I know you don't feel like you're enough. Because I just laid this big trip on you that you're going to do greater works than I do because I go to the Father, verse 12. And then he kind of caps it off with, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, I got to tell you, folks, I like this verse, but it's not yet true in my life. I don't want to be dishonest here. I have looked at this verse a lot. Do you get everything you ask for? Me neither. And I keep thinking, am I asking for the wrong stuff? Am I asking in the wrong way? I mean, I keep looking at myself. I keep looking here at little Mario and saying, gosh, that's not working for me. I'm not quite getting everything I want right now. I'm asking, you know, I'm not getting it yet. And here's the next secret. If you love me, keep my commandments. 15. And I will pray to the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world can't receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells in you and will be with you. What's the key to getting to the greater works? The helper. The paraclete. The one that comes alongside. That's what paraclete means. One who comes alongside. I'm going to help you today. Great. Don't you love someone who comes alongside? I mean, my daughters have really been after me. They are 40-something and just, oh, today's Heidi's birthday. You better text her, Kel. They're 40-something and 30-something, and they keep telling me, Mom, your job is over. Stop telling us what to do, and just come alongside us to do. Do you understand? This is the power of God, sent by the Father to upgrade you to the greater work. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the Comforter. It's the Paraclete. It's the one that Jesus said, I'm going to send you something special. I'm going to send you something you've never had before. Theology lesson 101. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit only came to anoint someone for a special work. He did not indwell the believers in God. Theology 101. There was no indwelling. There was only anointing, unction, come upon, superpower, Holy Spirit. But now, Jesus asked God to do something special. He said, now that I've opened the way to heaven through the cross, give him the Holy Spirit. Let the Spirit of God fill their lives, their hearts, their minds, their bodies. Dwell in them. He says over and over that my Father and I may dwell in you richly. By the power of the Spirit. You see, Theology 102, 101, Holy Spirit's on in the Old Testament, in the New Testament. Okay? On, in. So, raise your hand if you have the Holy Spirit. Good listeners. Good class. Yes, you have the Holy Spirit. If you have even begun to love Jesus Christ, if you have even begun to say yes to the Lord Jesus Christ, he has already sent you the Holy Spirit. And he lives in you and helps you and indwells you and leads you and guides you. In your homework this week, you're going to see all kinds of things the Holy Spirit does. He teaches you. He brings to your mind things. He points you to Jesus. He's pretty active. Whether you knew it or not, a lot of stuff you've been attributing to Jesus is really the Holy Spirit. I mean, they don't care. They're pretty happy with each other up there, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You know, it's kind of like in a family when a kid comes and says, my dad is so great. He packed my lunch and got me to school. And, you know, he's telling his friends. And, you know, he takes me to all my practices. And you're standing over there going, that's me. I pack your lunch, the mother. I take you to your practice. Why are you saying it's your dad when it's me? But it's just cool to talk about your dad, you know. You know, you don't want to be a mama's boy and say, my mom takes care of me and packs my lunch. And, you know, you get what I'm saying. So a lot of what you've been attributing to Jesus is really the Holy Spirit. You know, all that stuff that goes on inside you. You know, all those times that you felt like, ooh, I should call somebody, this, my friend's sick, I should go over there, I should, that's the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. But a lot of times we say, well, Jesus told me to. And, you know, don't worry about it. I'm not really interested in changing your language here or trying to convert you to anything different. I'm just saying, wake up, see that you are indwelled by the Spirit of God, which is called the Holy Spirit, because you believe in Jesus. And really, you believe in Jesus because the Holy Spirit already started on you way back a long time ago and started to get your heart ready for that step of faith. It says no one comes to the Father, Jesus says, but by me. Right? So they're all kind of together, so don't worry about it, but I'm just telling you that this is part of what you get. You get the Holy Spirit because Jesus has said, I will pray to the Father for you and send the mushroom. So, and he sent the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. Now, the second part of this, though, Theology 103. So what's Theology 101? Upon, in. What's Theology 102? You are indwelled by the Holy Spirit. Theology 103, turn to Acts. The Acts of the Apostles. This is the book Jonah and Daniel would love, because this is the action step. You know, many of us are pretty comfortable with the idea of being indwelled by the Holy Spirit for our comfort, for our happiness, for our, you know, guidance, for counsel, wisdom, teaching, truth. Are we all good on that one? But some of us jump ship when it comes to the power. We're kind of scared about this sometimes. I was scared about this. I'll admit it. I was a straight down the line evangelical Christian, really good with God, really good with Jesus. And then back in the day, I won't tell you how long ago then, because, you know, there's no reason for you to know how old I am. But back in the day, when somebody came to me and said, have you received the power of the Holy Spirit? I was like, whoa, baby. What does that look like? And they said, well, you'll speak in tongues when you receive the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, this is old thinking. I'll correct it here in a minute. But that was their thinking then, is if you receive the power of the Holy Spirit, you're going to speak with another tongue. And you can see why here in Acts, they do that a lot. And I thought, okay, I really want to do that. So I remember Don and I got down beside our bed. We were in ministry at the time, just really going for it, really humble, really wanted this power. If there was more to have of God, we wanted. Got down beside our bed. Dear Jesus, please give us the power of the Holy Spirit. Nothing. I'm telling you, nothing. We got up off that floor and said, guess not for us. I guess just for those weirdos over there that go to that Assembly of God church. they're really confused about a lot of things. And so I began to tweak my theology to fit my experience. Raise your hand if you've tweaked your theology to fit your experience. Yes, okay, good. Some of you didn't because you don't want to admit it. But God is on the move to get us all on the same page. And so he's correcting some of these things. And he's moving in ways that we can begin to be full gospel Christians. And part of that is becoming aware of and understanding and being okay with the power of God through the Holy Spirit. Look with me in Acts chapter 2. Again, in my Bible, these words are red. Start in chapter 1, sorry. Again, in my Bible, these words are red, which means these are words of Jesus. So if you're a Jesus person, this is kind of important to you to listen to him. And he says, verse 5, "For John truly baptized with water," all you Baptists are good with this, and most of the rest of us too. I'm in Acts chapter 1, verse 5. Sorry, turn the page back. "For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." You can see where these people kind of got this idea. Then skip down to verse 8, because then they get all mixed up in history. Are you gonna give us back our land, our kingdom, blah, blah, blah? But in verse 8, he gets them back on the point and says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And then you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth." What are the two main concepts there? First, verse 5, he's going to do what? Baptize you with the Holy Spirit. So now the Holy Spirit not only comes in us and is dwelling there, and he's our little friend and our little helper, but he's also going to come on us. He's going to baptize us. He's going to baptize us with power for a purpose. Their purpose was to witness to the world. Your purpose might be different, but it's going to have a kingdom purpose in it. Whether it's to share with the homeless, whether it's to go to the poor, whether it's to bring healing, whether it's to bring comfort. You know, whatever it is that you're going to do and you are doing and you're in the middle of doing, you need power to do it. I can tell you this right now, women. Your circumstances have been divinely appointed for the purpose of shoving you into your gifting. And guess what? Circumstances change so that you'll keep getting more gifts. My circumstance right now is shoving me. I mean, literally, it's just overwhelmingly shoving me into the supernatural gift of service. I was shoved as a young woman into the supernatural gift of evangelism. Then I was shoved into teaching. Then I was shoved into prophetic prayer. But now I'm getting shoved into service. Your circumstances, God will use and has created for you to get an upgrade. A gift that you wouldn't have gone after. Do you think I want the gift of service? Or patience? Or help? Or love? You know what? I could care less about loving the world. I just want to teach them. I just want to tell them what to do. But now, he has shut my mouth and said, go and do the laundry and the dishes and clean the kitchen and sweep the floor and wipe the butt. Because you will learn that you can't do that by yourself. You see, I can teach till the cows come home in my own merit, but, you know, luckily God got me and said, no, there's a better way to do it, and now I do it by the Holy Spirit too, so I hopefully this is coming across both in my own talent and with the Holy Spirit. But I can't do the service thing without the mushroom. Because little Mario, running around those little places, does not have all it takes to make it happen. I need the Holy Spirit. And I just don't need the Holy Spirit inside me to make me feel good and happy. I need the Holy Spirit to come upon me and get me home from Seattle week after week after week after week after week. And you do too, because these works are too big for us. The greater works are too big. How many of you have someone in your sphere of influence that is sick? How are you doing on the healing prayer? We need the Holy Spirit. How many of you have someone in your sphere of influence that is oppressed, depressed, hopeless, falling away from their destiny, not seeing who they really are, who they were created to be? How many of you have someone in your life like that? We need the Holy Spirit for deliverance. You see, you have talents that are just awesome. You're created. You're beautiful, you have special gift, you know, you have talent. God doesn't get rid of our natural design. He empowers it for His kingdom purposes. Be who you are and like it. Celebrate it. Grow it. Let that indwelling Holy Spirit just give you everything that you are. And then ask Him, baptize me with power, that I can go beyond myself to the kingdom work that you've put me on the earth to do. We're going to see real quick here how that happened to Peter. So Jesus promised that He was going to be baptized with the power. Then look what happens in chapter 2. I know you guys have already studied this, but look again. Now, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, which was already a holiday implanted in the Jewish culture. Don't think Christians invented Pentecost. We didn't. They already had it in their culture. So they were just all going to celebrate together. So these believers, these people that had been with Jesus, they loved Him so much. You know, it's kind of like after somebody dies, you just go and sit with people that know them. Because you want to tell stories, don't you? You want to talk about them. You want to kind of pretend that they're still with you by what you say to each other. And that's what they were doing. They just gathered together. I mean, Jesus told them to go gather together, but they were just gathering together to say, come on, tell us a story again, Peter, about when you were in the boat. And you saw Him walking across the water. You really thought He was a ghost? They wanted to hear the stories again. They wanted to talk about Him. They wanted to live their experiences with Him. We should be talking more about Jesus. We should be talking about the time that Jesus did this for you and the time that Jesus did that for you. Do you talk with people about Jesus? We need to talk more about Jesus. We need to say more. Only Jesus can do that. You got over the pass last night in the middle of this biggest snowstorm to hit the Pacific Northwest in the last 10 years. Only Jesus can do that. We need to talk about how Jesus is in our lives. But then, I'm sorry, when do I have to end? I have 2 minutes?
No,
What do you say, Teach? 10:45. Okay, we can do it. 10:45. Talk more about Jesus and about what Jesus is doing in your life. Get together with a bottle of wine and some friends. Put it down on the table. Everybody get a little bit, or grape juice, whatever your preference is. They make some wonderful sparkling grape juice, or a good beer. That's my preference. And get it on the table, and then say, okay, what's happened in your life in the last week? Come on, tell me what's happened. Well, gosh, I went to the store and I met this woman, and all of a sudden we were talking about her life, and I just felt like, can I pray for you? And I did, and she felt so much better. Clink. Only Jesus can do that. Talk about it. Share about it. How sad it is that we don't give him credit for the things that he's doing in our lives. Right? It breaks my heart when somebody says, I'm in remission. I'm sorry if you've said that. I'm sorry. But if you've received prayer, or if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you're not just in remission, you're being healed. Say it. God is in the process of healing my body. The church is weak because we don't talk about it. You know what? The world's not that uncomfortable with it, actually. You go out in the general public. That's part of our problem, too, is we don't have any friends that aren't Christians. But just go out there, even with your Christian friends, your church people. You know, Carolyn's husband, Craig, got this amazing surgery happened to him in Seattle, okay? And it was amazing because of the surgeon and his natural giftings, and he knew what to do, and praise God.
Can I tell the story?
You told it.
Did I tell it already about praying?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You did.
Okay.
You told the story. That's why I wanted to say it again. And what did the surgeon say to her when he came into the room? Your prayers have been answered. And while you were praying, I had the thought to look at the study. Clink! Only Jesus can do that, right? That is so awesome. We need to talk about it, folks. And you need to talk about the hard experiences too, the hard circumstances, and you need to talk about them from heaven's perspective. This is what Kelly's been teaching us. Talk from the heavenly realm, and let the earthly realm demonstrate it. See, we want the perspective of heaven to look down and teach us and tell us what's going on, but heaven needs you to flesh it out. Heaven needs you to walk it out. We need heaven to tell us what to do, and heaven needs you to walk it out in your realm, in your circumstance. So I'm challenging myself, and hold me accountable to this. I'm saying it publicly on tape and all, and I challenge you, start talking about your circumstance as an opportunity, an upgrade that Jesus is using to give you something new and special, right? Yeah. Even those hard, hard, hard ones. And Jesus is using your unique talent, inborn design that he did it. And he's giving you the Holy Spirit to upgrade it so that it'll go into the greater works. Don reminded me, my daughter in Seattle, she's kind of on her own plane right now, her own journey with herself and with the Lord and with her son. She has a very challenging, son, special needs son. But he reminded me of the picture that's over her sink in her house, where she's standing in Olympia with her son next to her, and the governor is signing into law a bill that will no longer allow restraint of out-of-control children in the public school. By that I mean they can no longer put them in headlocks. They can no longer lock them in closets. They can no longer restrain them for hours in a room by themselves. Did you know they could do this to children before that? They could actually do harmful things to children before that. But because she has this kind of special needs child, and because she is naturally gifted by the Lord and created to be a warrior, she went after it and got a bill before the legislature in Washington State and got it signed that this is no longer possible. Mario ate the mushroom. Whether she acknowledges it or not, God took her natural giftings, infused it with the power of God, and has expressed a whole kingdom principle throughout the state of Washington. Praise God. Clink the glass. Now, let's see how that happened to Peter. You know, Kelly gave me a little extra time, so I just went off. Okay. So when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing, mighty, violent wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire. I will baptize you with fire. And one sat upon each of them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. This is where that whole idea comes from. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven, because it was the day of Pentecost. So they'd all come to worship together, right? God doesn't waste anything. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Africans, Syrians, Jordanians, Lebanese, Jews, Greeks, Romans. These little people that had come together to tell stories about Jesus, all of a sudden, started to speak in foreign languages. Which is one aspect of the gift of tongues. It can be a real language that you don't know that God can give you for a holy purpose. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Aren't these the guys that fish in Galilee?" That's not kind of how it goes there, but it's close. "And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and blah, 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 blah." I mean, there's like 10 or 15 different places there in languages. Can you believe that? "We hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God." So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean? What does this mean?" And some said, "Well, they're full of new wine." So you got to be careful how many bottles of wine are on the table. But they said, "What does this mean? We're confused. We don't know what this is." And what happens? Peter. Peter! Now tell me, why is Peter naturally equipped for this, before we talk about his supernatural? Who is he? Peter is the rock, the rebel, the bold, the spokesman. He's the one that just, stuff just flies out of his mouth, and he has very little control over it. We have a couple grandsons like that too. Words just start flying out of their mouth, and you're just like, "Oh, really? Okay. Not that word. Not that word. Ooh, that word. Ooh." That's Peter. You see, Peter, in his original design, had a talent for leadership. for speaking, for being bold, for being trustworthy. But in his natural gifting, he could not have done this. He couldn't have done it. Because why? Because he had no idea what was going on. He had no idea in his own natural mind what was happening. You have no idea what's happening in your circumstance, in your natural mind. You can stay up all night if you want, night after night after night, trying to sort it out and trying to explain it and trying to figure it out. Or you can just go to sleep and ask God to tell you. And this is what happened. It says right here, verse 14, but Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. And do you think at that point, Peter's going, help, 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 help. I got to tell him something, but what am I going to tell him? And it starts to come to him by the power of the Holy Spirit. For these are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And he starts to explain to them what's happening. And he uses the prophet Joel, which I know Peter was probably a good synagogue goer, so he did know some things. But I'm just wondering, how did he pick that out of the blue, you know? He remembered it. The Holy Spirit helped him remember that scripture. And then he not only stops there and says, this is what Prophet Joel said, but let me give you another example. Remember King David. And then he starts to talk about that. And he talks about David. And then he moves from talking about David. I'm speeding through the chapter. You'll have to read it for yourself. Down in verse 36, he starts saying, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified. Now comes the, what my mother used to call the shiv paw. I'm not sure what that really means, but it has something to do with a dog, and it has to do with the dog's paw. If anybody knows what that is, tell me. But it's kind of the corker, you know, the stab where it gets to your heart, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. And now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. Do you think the Holy Spirit is acting here? And said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And then Peter gets... Now, this is all under the unction of the Holy Spirit. He says to them, repent. Let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus. He borrowed that from John. For the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. And many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. Peter is a perfect example of what happens when the natural realm and the supernatural realm come together. When you, in your created being, allow God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to not only fill you, but to empower you, you get kingdom results. You get a bill signed into legislation. You get a friend healed of a disease. You get a child released from the bonds of addiction. You get supersized. Mario, and you're no longer that little Mario just running around in your own goodness, but now you have the power of God, not only in you, but on you for the greater works. Are you doing the greater work? Your circumstance is pushing you to do the greater work. stop fighting it, and let God use it. The circumstance of Pentecost was right there. And instead of stepping back and saying, I don't know what this is all about. Hey, guys, anybody know? Anybody know? Anybody know? What should we do? What should we do? I don't know. I can't. I keep talking this language. I don't understand. And somebody keeps saying, I hear you. And I have come. No. Instead of stepping back, Peter stepped up and said, hold it. I got an idea. This might be God for you. If you don't know what else to say to your person in your life that's confused, say this to them. This might be God for you. This could be God for you. Because God isn't in the business of just patching us up. He's in the business of healing us, of delivering us, of empowering us, of advancing us. Because His kingdom is counting on you. It's not going to go forth from anybody else if it doesn't go forth from you in your realm. And I know some of you are happy about that, you aren't. But it's the truth. I'd like you to take a minute with me to ask the Lord a question. If you have a piece of paper, it would be helpful. If not, you can maybe just keep this in your mind. For those of us that are over 50, we can't keep it in our mind, so get out a piece of paper. It'll just slip right out. Go to some cyberspace, and you'll have to ask your grandson to help you remember it. Get out a piece of paper and ask the Lord this. So first of all, before we do this, I want you to get in mind. I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to say, Jesus, bring to mind an experience in my life where you infused my natural gifts with your supernatural power. It can be a small or big thing. Bring to mind one experience. Have you got one? All right. Now, I want you to write down. Say, Jesus, reveal to me what's in me that made this possible. Like, what's my natural giftings that you used in this experience? Write down two or three ideas you come up with. Like, maybe because you're so loving, or maybe because you're so bold, or maybe because you're so teachable. Or humble. Or kind. Or insightful. This is about you. Get in touch with yourself here. Then ask this question. Now, Jesus, what did the Holy Spirit baptize me with, and fill me with, that I could do, that I could go through this experience? Thank you, Jesus, for our time together today. I just pray as we share these things with our friends here, Lord, that you will just keep reminding us of how you created us and how you're empowering us for that unique place in your kingdom that you have planted us. Thank you that you trust us with the very words and kingdom of God to be manifest into this world. Lord, thank you that you give us not only the indwelling Holy Spirit, but the empowering Spirit to be able to do the works that you have called us to do. I just pray for each and every person in this room that they will feel valued by heaven today and not alone. You said, I will not let you be alone. I will not leave you orphans. I will send you the Holy Spirit to be with you. And I will be with you by the power of the Spirit to the end of time. So thank you for your comforting words today, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.